for your sweet presence in this place. Thank you again for you choose to visit with us. What is man, O Lord? You are mindful of us, so mindful. We want to say thank you because you have chosen once again to come to visit with us. And so we welcome you. We recognize that, Lord God, in ourselves we can do absolutely nothing. We are acutely, and I in particular, I'm acutely aware of my human limitations, you know, and the ability to deliver this word, and also my brethren, myself, to receive it as we ought. So we come again to ask for fresh mercy, mercy from the God of heaven. I ask in particular mercy upon my tongue. You will touch my tongue, O God. Make it like the pen of a ready writer. As I speak, you will speak through me. It will not be my words. But by your mercy, you grant a free flow of your word from you through me to the people. So this word will go forth in accuracy, in power, in great clarity, in simplicity, yet in the love and the comfort of your spirit, so that wherever this word goes, in all the earth, whether here physically, and those who hear it now, myself included, or those who hear it by remote means, electronically, wherever this word goes in all the earth, your power and your spirit will back it to cause men to be not hearers only, but doers of the same, so that we bless in all they're doing in the name of Jesus. I ask you to help me, Lord, so I'll be concise and precise, so I will not waste time or say anything unnecessary. So bring it forth out of the treasure, the marvelous treasure of this word, things both old and new, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. The Lord God, help me, Lord, as I speak, Lord God, that the power of God will flow from my mouth, causing, Lord, yokes to be broken, needs to be met, causing, Lord God, our minds to be more enlightened with revelation, knowledge of the word, our wills to be more humble and submitted to your will, O God, and our emotions to be controlled and tempered even further by the power of the fruit of the Spirit in the name of Jesus. I also ask for mercy to be a faithful steward of this word, and Lord, I humble myself under the anointings and the coverings of my fathers, and Lord God, I ask for mercy, so that I will speak and teach and deliver this word as they would were they here personally, so that, Lord God, as this word goes forth, it will be a river of life, bringing life and refreshing to all that hear it, but especially to them. As I, Lord, deliver this word, they will be tremendously, abundantly satisfied with the travail of their souls in me. I thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Lord Holy Spirit, because you are faithful, you will not lie to David. Your word will not return void. And we've accomplished in this time of sharing and receiving of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people say, amen. And it's a word that has to do with an issue that affects every person. Man, woman, boy, or girl, it doesn't matter who you are. As long as you're a human being, this issue affects every one of us. Everyone born of a woman. Amen. And of course, everybody's now asking, what is it? What is it, Pastor Girl? It's the issue of the emotion of fear, or you could put it, a lack of boldness. A very simple message, I believe, and I've titled it, Boldness in the Day of Judgment. And it's interesting, I actually went to Google what that word boldness means. I mean, you know, sometimes the Lord leads me to do that. And I found out that boldness is the exact opposite of fearfulness. In other words, if you're bold, If you're not bold, you are fearful. It's a mutually exclusive thing. And if you're bold, you're not fearful. And if you're fearful, you cannot be bold. Amen? And I looked at the meaning. It said, it implies a willingness to get things done in spite of risk, shame, or rejection. Hello? Sometimes people, they don't like rejection, so they just call themselves up. The fear of rejection. Amen? And it says it means a person of great courage in an adverse situation. That's why this title is relevant. Boldness in the Day of Judgment. God wants us to have boldness because we've reached the Day of Judgment. Everybody say amen. Everybody say, look at me, I'm fine. It's the truth. But the truth of the matter is, and this is why the Lord, I believe, is having us preach it. The truth of the matter is that most people, most men, practically all men, very few, most men, typically by nature, are not bold, but very fearful. Amen? Hello? All of you are bold, have you? Okay, all right. We'll find out. Most of us, it's a universal human condition, you see. And I'm going to show you how, by the grace of God, show you why it is so. Most of us are afraid of something or someone or the other. Hello? And you know what? Science has even made a study of fear. They call it what? Phobia. Those who are psychologists who are in medical profession will say, they know exactly what they call it, phobias. Amen? And it's amazing. You won't believe this. There's actually an entire website devoted to phobia. Devoted to fear of things in man. And there are many. I said, wow. This is a nerve. This is a nerve point in the human existence. They call them phobias. They're different ones. And I don't know if you hear, which you may be able to identify yourself. Hello? You are not phobia in Jesus' name. We're getting there. Is that there are different phobias. There's one called claustrophobia. That's a fear of small places or tiny places. After that, we have an elevator. And your heart starts to go, bleep, 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 bleep. That's a phobia. Amen? There's one called agoraphobia. Fear of open places. In other words, you stand in the middle of a field and you just start getting afraid for no reason. You're laughing. Okay. Hello? I know somebody have this one. Acrophobia. Fear of heights. I remember when we went to Singapore. Mommy said we should go on this, what do you call this, like this wheel. It's a Ferris wheel, but it's huge. And I said, I'm going up there? I said, everybody get in. Everybody, you know, Mommy, she was, everybody, you know, all in the beauty of her heart. She said, everybody went in. I said, sure. So I got in with a group of guys. We had our own, you know, it was like you have several different cubicles. So as you get in, you know, the cubicle starts going up. Hey, I said, today now, today. And you know, the funny thing about it, the floor was glass. And as you're going up, you're looking, the floor is going down, down, down. And all of a sudden, I looked up and I was at the level of the skyscraper next to the place where we were. I said, God Almighty. And then I had to crown it all. Oh, you just, I'm telling you, folks, this thing is real. To crown it all, the people that were with me were young children. You know, I go in, children, you're on the holiday, and they were jumping on that place. I said, my food, Orikini. This is glass now. And they're jumping. You know what I did? I just sat down. I sat down until the thing came to terra firma. I said, yes. This one I know. Up there, girls can have that one. Hello? Acrophobia. Phobia, fear of heights. Other people have ophidiophobia, fear of snakes. Some people it's cyanophobia. Some people don't like dogs. They fear dogs. Fear of flying. Hello? I like turbulence. And you know what? I found out there's a fear of fear itself. To show you how bad the devil is. You are afraid of being afraid. What are we saying, folks? There's a common humanity human problem in this. The most common of this of fears is the fear of death, really. Yeah. Guess what? It has a name. I'll have to read it to you. Thanatophobia. Thanatophobia. Fear of death. And you know, it's amazing that the scripture reveals, give me Hebrews chapter 2, 13 or thereabouts, 14. The scripture tells us that's the reason, one of the major reasons why the Lord Jesus Christ came was to deliver man from the fear of death. Hebrews chapter 2, thank you. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, the Lord Jesus, also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might do what? Destroy him that hath the power of death, that is the devil. Next verse. And deliver them. God has come to deliver us today. Who through fear of death or fear of anything. Hello? Were all their lifetime subject to bondage. What it says is that fear is a bondage. Fear of anything, especially death, whatever, agoraphobia is a bondage. And God wants to deliver you. Amen? Many men fear God, fear death. Well, this is why God came. One of the reasons. Amen? And so, because many men, including God's people, like you and I, by the grace of God, are bound to one fear or another, it is not possible to have boldness in the day of judgment. Or have it as we ought to. Because you see, the devil who put the fear there knows your number. And he'll bring something that makes you shake a little bit, so you just back off a little bit and he's got you. And God says, go forward, you back up. Say, God, wait, I'm coming. No. Boldness. Move as and when the Lord tells you. Without wondering what's going to happen to me. I mean, how many of us will be willing to step out onto the Sea of Galilee? God says, go to the other side. He said, where's the boat? God said, no, you are the boat. The Lord Jesus did. And it wasn't even quite, and you know, it wasn't a smooth ride. That's just the waves were up and down. But he still stepped out. That's boldness. So let's read the scripture. We put have a scripture back this. Amen. Familiar scripture in this house, because we read it very often, but the Lord brought it out to me in this way, and I'm trusting that help me expand upon it. 1 John chapter 4, 16. 1 John 4 and 16. Please, thank you. Aha. Herein, let's read it together. Okay, 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. Next verse. Herein, in other words, in this, herein is our love made perfect, that we may, notice it, may, not will. We may. There's a may, it means there's a may not. But ours is may in Jesus' name. That we may have what? Boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is, so are we. Now be careful, watch the tenses here. As he is, so are we, not were we. So we're talking about a present continuous tense. We'll come back to that later. As he is, so are we in this world. Next verse. But there is no fear in love. There is no fear in love. There is no fear in love. The degree to which you are in the love of God is a degree to which you have no fear. Or the degree to which you have fear is a degree to which you are not in the love of God. It works both ways. Say, but, and this is where we're going, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. That's what the devil does and brings all those phobias. Amen. Phobia of snake. You see dog, you run. You see cat, you run. You see, there's so, I mean, it's amazing. There was, on that website, there was one, number one, I stopped at 1 to 100. After 100, I said, two. Me say more. Everything can bring a fear. There's fear of being loved. Can you imagine? Somebody wants to love you and you're afraid. that's why, you know, an enemy has done this. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. But back up to verse 17. That's really the punchline for this verse. So here it is, our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Amplified says confidence. It's the same thing. In the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. Now, when you read it in Amplified and some translations, it has some reference to the judgment that is yet to come after the resurrection. And so, but the truth of the matter is, it is also true in this particular day. Amen? Because the day of the Lord is not one 24-hour period. In the manifold wisdom, this refers to the present time of judgment that has come upon us. The Bible says that, no, that the hour that God has come to try all those that dwell upon the face of the earth, the hour of temptation. Eh? So, on the earth, the judgment has begun. Hello? And it's going to continue until it ends with the judgment, the white, great white throne judgment in Revelation chapter 20. It's not coming to start. It has begun. Well, thank you, Pastor Dave. Everybody's looking at me funny. So that's why it's in present continuous tense, because as he is, so are we. It says, so were we. If it was a judgment of the Revelation 12 and 20 alone, he was there, so we were, because you are looking back. But he's talking about a present continuous process that has started now. How do I know? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. Hello, somebody. 1 Peter 4, 7. But the end of all things, no, is that right? 1 Peter, where it says, well, time is come. In 1 Peter or 2 Peter. The time is come, the judgment must begin at the house of God. And if you have, yeah, no, this is wrong. 19. Oh, sorry, forget. Yes, thank you. 17. I said 17. Thank you. For the time has come What time is that? Now. Such when the time has come, that what judgment must begin where? That's why you got to have boldness. And perfect the love of God. So you can have that boldness. Because when judgment comes, like Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh. Nothing in me. So you got to be bold in God. In this season. For the time has come that judgment must begin where? At the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? So it's going to start in church, but it doesn't end there. It's going to go to the nation and then to the nations until the end cometh and the rapture takes place. Right? Somebody sent me a lovely text, a lovely what time? But the premise was built on wrong foundation. It said the rapture is about to take place. I said, sorry, wrong. The rapture is not about to take place. That's way in the future. What's about to take place now is God is going to come to his church. He's going to judge first of all his people. Hello? And cause a cutting off of 2/3 of the church. The Bible calls it a time of Jacob's trouble. But says he shall be delivered out of it. We're in the time of judgment, folks. And he says, where then shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? No, it's not just the church, but the church is, hello, Kashaka. God can't judge the world till he judges his people. There must be a judgment first. So he says, so, and of course, as Pastor has shown us through his teachings earlier on, the four blood moon tetrad and the solar eclipses mark this particular season. The Bible says, I will show signs in the heaven and signs in the earth. Amen? And there's the overwhelming, how do I put it? Characteristic of this present time of judgment that we're talking about as we speak to you in the world is fear, not boldness. The Bible says, give me Luke chapter 21, 25. Luke 21, 25, please. Luke 21, 25. Thank you. And there shall be, there have been. See, this is prophetic, but now we're talking past this. It's already happened. We've seen the four right in front of our very eyes here. We saw those four blood moon tetrads, saw the eclipses, and it coincides with the release of Jubilee year, Shemitah year. All these signs prophesied from Joel have taken place before our very eyes. Hello? There shall be all of these, and there have been signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth. What do we see? There's nowhere where there's not distress. With perplexity, because they don't know what's happening. Nobody knows why it's doing what it's doing. The sea and the waves, is not talking about the Atlantic Ocean. It's talking about the sea of humanity. The waves of men foaming out. This is the kind of tradition. Next verse is why we were preaching this message. One reason why. Look at this. It doesn't say natural men. Man is a composite thing. Men's hearts, what? Fading them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven are being shaken. Present truth. Present truth. Fear, what's the point? Fear is the prevailing mood on the earth now. The Bible says that humanity is roaring. Roaring means they're crying out, but they don't know what's going on. They don't know what to do about it. David said, I roar by reason of the disquiet that is in my heart. There's disquiet in the heart of all men on the earth, except you are perfecting the love of God, or you perfected it. So it's exactly at this time of judgment that God expects us, his church, to have great boldness, to arise and shine. But what do we see in most cases? If we're going to be true to ourselves in the body of Christ today, many of God's people are equally as fearful as those in the world. Hello? Many of God's people exercise themselves, and it's true, you have to exercise because you can reject it. But they exercise themselves in the same fears. For example, in our own current situation in Nigeria, let's look at Nigeria, we'll take it from there. I know that many people in the church today, perhaps some of them here today, are wondering what's going on in this land, Seth. Eh? If you look with the eye of the flesh, if you look with the natural eye, you'll be discouraged. The only way you can see and look at Nigeria now is if you're looking with the eyes of the Spirit. Anything other than that, Bible says you do not forsake your mercy by observing lying vanities. There are many lying vanities taking place in Nigeria today. If you focus on that, there's a particular phraseology that the Lord helped me write on my wall. It says, make sure when things are moving, you should keep your eye on the kingdom, because the kingdom cannot shake or move. If you're not looking at kingdom now, purposes, kingdom is the perfection and the fullness of Christ. The dominion of the life and the power of God over your mind, with emotions, over your physical body, and over your circumstances to reign in life. You're not doing that now, you will be shaken. Because God is the one that's doing the shaking. So I will shake all nations. But it's for prosperity, so the desire of all nations shall come. Some have even said in Nigeria, what they are seeing in Nigeria is not what they saw in prayer. This one, God didn't show us this one. No. Hello, if it's happening, and God didn't show you this happening, and maybe God didn't tell you. It can't happen unless God allows it. That's right. Whereas some people have prophesied by the grace of God, and this time the prophecy was there's going to be a storm, but there'll be peace in that storm. That's exactly what we're experiencing. That's the person who hears God. That's the person who knows what God is saying. Not the God, you show me this one. No. So question now, why is this fearfulness so prevalent in man? Why is it that we Christians who are supposed to know better also have these fears when God has come to deliver the whole of the body of Christ from this issue of fear? Why is it? Why is this condition prevalent? The answer is that whenever there's a prevalent universal human condition, we have to look to the root of the problem. We've got to go right to the root. Where did it start from? And in this case, there's a reason. Give me Genesis chapter 6, chapter 3, verse 6. Genesis 3, 6, please, quickly. Let's try and speed this thing up. We're talking about why now. Now, this is the account of what happened when in the garden the Lord put a tree of good of life in the middle of the garden, right next to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and said, you can eat every tree, but except this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We know the story. The serpent tempted Eve, not Adam. Adam wasn't deceived. He just was disobedient. He wasn't deceived. He was disobedient. Anyway, the essence is that the woman saw that the tree was good. Was good for food. That it was pleasant to the eyes. A tree to be desired to make. Pride of life. Pride of the eyes. Lust of the flesh. Same thing. That's the root. That's where it began. She took of the fruit and did eat. And gave also to her husband with her. And he did it. Stop there. God told him, said, when you disobey God, you release spiritual forces. You don't know what the consequences of it will be. This disobedience released the spiritual force of iniquity into the earth. And we are still suffering. We're not suffering. We're still battling with the consequences still today. That's where the fear begins. Next verse. Help me, Lord. And the eyes of them both are open. And they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. What a crying shame. What happened here? When they ate that thing, they were clothed before in the glory of God. So when Adam saw Eve, all he saw of her was light. Bible says God has clothed himself with light as with a garment. So the clothing that God had is light. The clothing that Adam has is light. The clothing that Eve had then was light. So all they saw was one light being to another. He didn't know anything except light. But when they sinned, that light shut down instantly because they were cut off from the source. And he said they were naked. In other words, they weren't wearing clothes. They didn't know that before. Lord, help me, Lord. So what they did, they sewed fig leaves together. They tried to approximate the glory by sewing together physical things to clothe themselves around so the shame of their nakedness does not appear. God said, foul. And he's still saying, men are still doing that till today. Instead of acknowledging they have a condition called sin, they try and look for everything, the pride of life, you know, big titles. We were talking about that on Wednesday, just to cover their shame of nakedness. It's not going to work. God told the Laodicean church, he said, I counsel of me, go and buy righteousness, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Were they not wearing clothes? That's why all man's self-righteousness is filthy rags. There's only one righteousness that can clothe you. Please shut up. We'll get back to that. So now let's go. Next verse. And
they heard the voice of God walking in the cool of God in the day. And that is why they hid themselves from the prayer. They were walking with God before. They were stepped in line with God. They will change, you know, God will come and visit them, they will talk to God, they will relate to God, fellowship with God. But now, they hid themselves. Next verse. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said to him, where art thou? As if God didn't know. God is so wonderful. Next verse. That's the punchline. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and get this now, and I was afraid. This is the first mention of fear in creation. And I was afraid. Why? Because I was naked and I hid myself. So up until this point in time, fear was totally unknown. Totally unknown. The knowledge of sin and death of fear, everything was totally unknown. Until they sinned. So this is the genesis of fear. This is the genesis of fear. But it says that he, what does it say? It says, I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. So the root of fear is nakedness in the presence of God. But it says, for all have come short of the glory of God. So as far as God is concerned, man that is unregenerate, man that is not perfected in Christ, until he gets the glory, is still naked to a degree. And that's why fear persists. Even in some Christians who are supposed to know better. So this is the origin of mankind. Now, let me ask you, have you ever seen a naked people? The picture that came to my mind, it stayed with me forever because I was a young man when I used to see those pictures. I too, you know, for a little deal, much far less than pastor, I used to read about, you know, Nazi Germany and the Holocaust and all this. What was one of the major weapons that the Nazis used to use against the Jews when they brought them to Dachau, all these concentration camps? They would strip them naked. As they come in, they're taking their clothes off them. Man and woman, doesn't matter. And they line them up, man, one, one, they're all naked. You can see the fear in their eyes. You strip a man of his clothes and he's naked before you, instantly he's afraid. Instantly. That's in the physical. Now, compared to the glory that Adam had. The moment that they went out, fear came. Kilo shele, what happened? What did we do? The glory is gone. Now, hold that thought for a moment. This relationship between nakedness and fear from Genesis, and I'll bring it into the New Testament. This is why most Christians are still afraid, because we are still naked as far as God and His glory is concerned. How do we know? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, give me verse 1. We're going somewhere with this. Boldness in the day of judgment. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Next verse. For in this body, in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. We're still doing the same thing, right? That's why we grow, that's why we travel, that Christ be formed in us. Talking about the heavenly house. Talking about a celestial habitation that God will clothe us with. Now, I'll get to that in a minute, but let's finish reading it. Next verse. If so be that being clothed with what? Your heavenly habitation. That heavenly celestial habitation that you are groaning to attain unto. If so, that being clothed shall not be found naked. In other words, without thy heavenly habitation from heaven, without thy heavenly adornment, we are naked. And that's why the fear comes in. Let me just finish off this. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we be unclothed or die, but be clothed upon, that what? Mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now, Paul is saying here that it exists for every saint, like I said, a heavenly body, which comes upon us. In this, if you read in Amplified, it talks about after the resurrection. He's talking about a glorified body here, actually. But
The same Paul
in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11, speaks about experiencing the resurrection of his body while resurrection from the dead while in his body. What are we talking about? So he's saying that this power, this body, can be transformed while we are still alive, so that the immortality of heaven can swallow up our mortality by being made manifest in our mortal flesh. That is, the life of God, which is immortal, which is in the heavens, can be made manifest inside this flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. Quickly. Help the Lord. This is what enables us to experience the resurrection. It says, always buying about in the body, the dying releases that the life also of Jesus, that immortal life of God, the power of God, the essence, the nature of God that comes from heaven, that it might also be manifest where? In our body. Then now goes the next verse. He says, no, we're not talking about heavenly body here. We're talking about a physical body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. Why? That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh, so that we will no more be naked. Amen. Amen. folks, this is it. So, until we experience this glory, this life being made manifest in our mortal flesh, it's as though we are naked before God. Just like Adam and Eve were. When the light went out, the glory disappeared and became shadows. They became afraid because they were naked. Amen? But what happens? Oh, thank God for his mercies. What happens is that when a man gets born again, that nakedness is covered by the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ through the shed blood. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Said, let's read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 21, the last verse. It said, for he hath made him sin, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Why? That we who sinned might be made the righteousness of God in him. So even though we have come short of the glory of God and we are naked, when we get born again, God covers us with the Lord Jesus' righteousness. And that's why all man's righteousness is as filthiness in his sight. Because he cannot cover the nakedness that came when the glory went. But because of the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and the blood that was shed that gives us all access and boldness by that access. God glory. We can approach God. In the righteousness of Christ, God sees us through his righteousness, not our nakedness. That's how he deals with us. But as far as God's word is concerned, we're naked. And that's why the fear comes. And so what God expects us to do, I'm getting ahead of myself again, is that we use that righteousness of God to flush out the power of God, the life of God, to flush out that sin nature, so that while we are in that righteousness, that work is done in our minds, in our wills, in our emotions, in our bodies, so that glory can now inhabit it. And then when the glory now shine forth, we're still in his righteousness. We still have right standing through him. But now the glory takes its place and we compete without fear. Boldness in him. Amen. And it's the truth, the degree. The only thing that can restore that thing is perfection. Perfection, the love of God, the character of God, and the return of the manifest glory. And it's to the degree that we perfect this love of God in our lives, in our individual lives, and in the church, that we will lose the fear of anything and have boldness in this day of judgment. There's hope for us, hope. There's great hope. Apostle John, the apostle of love, the same one that wrote the scripture that he that is begotten of God sinneth not, and he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and the wicked one touches him not. Church really teaches us that Apostle John was put in. Do you know what boiling oil looks like? I don't, but I have a picture in my mind. Can you imagine molasses? Molasses. He will be bubbling thick. Can you imagine putting somebody inside boiling oil and when his food touches it, the oil stops boiling? They couldn't kill him. They couldn't kill him! Because the man, that's why I said, perfect love. cast out fear. Only he dared to write that film. Because he saw the end of it. That's why the banished to Patmos. But where did John begin? How many remember the time they were in the boat with the Lord Jesus Christ? And the waves were roaring, and the Lord Jesus, who was perfect love, was asleep in the back of the boat. He said, let us go to the other side. Like somebody one morning preacher said when I heard one, and I just laughed and I just kept it. He said, if that boat had to go underwater, he will get to the other side, because God said, let us go to, and he will get with all the disciples, even their unbelief. If he submerges, he will still get there. And all of them somehow will breathe underwater. God will do it. We just turned the first submarine in the creation. That's all. When Jesus said, let's go to the other side. But when the waves started, John said, ah, with all the others, they said, ah, oh God, carest thou not that we perish? What was Jesus? He said, why are you so fearful? That's where John began. Fearfulness. But look what he, now, he is an apostle of love that nobody could kill. They tried to kill him. And then God gave him the book of Revelation. Hello? Let's hope for you and I. You'll be boldness and bold in this day of judgment in Jesus' name. Now, question. Why does God want his people to have boldness? We're going to rush this. Trust the Lord to help us. Thank you, Jesus. Bless you. I appreciate it. Now, why does God want his people to have boldness and to be fearless in the day of judgment? Well, one, God is about to break forth in the earth like never before. Amen? And the Zion church, what God is going to do for the Zion church is so great. So great and so vast in scope. That it will require great, great boldness and great faith to accomplish it all. God is about to break out. The Bible says that as I live, the whole earth shall be covered with the knowledge of with the glory as the waters cover the sea. Was Pastor Wilder that brought that back to me, you know, some time ago? He said, do you know how it is the waters cover the sea? And he was telling me, and I was watching a program about 3-4 days ago, some guy, you know, put a submersible in the ocean. And they were filling walls. He said, there are mountain ranges under the sea that are taller than Everest. Can you imagine? Under the sea, there. Nobody has seen them, but they are there. And the water covers them. Now, can you imagine the degree of the glory that's going to cover the face of the earth? Arise, shine, the Bible says. Thy light has come. It's going to be awesome. Awesome. And God, the only way it's going to happen is God has to have people who are bold, who have crucified everything that is not Christ in their lives, perfected that love of God. So when God says, move, they move. They don't ask why. I gave an example of Lord Jesus earlier. Hello? Peter tried it. You know Peter? The guy is a very, he has great faith. Father, he said, is this you tell me to come? I said, come. One word. Father. He said, he said, come. And all the water was moving under Peter's feet to give him solid ground. The man walked on the water. Then, what is your way? Yay! Me? Peter Maruru coming. Ah, a stone will sink in water. But also, Peter means rock, Petros. He looked at his inability instead of looking at God's ability. The moment that thought crossed his mind, he began to sink. That calm did not work anymore. When you look at your fears and your inabilities in response to God, God forbid, that is the beginning of sinking. Once God says, come, or step out, and you step out in faith, God will catch you. And somebody told me many years ago, he said, wait, God, throw your life in here, let God catch you. I said, what if he doesn't? He said, that's not your problem, that's his problem. Yours is to throw, God is to catch. And he caught it. And he's still catching it. Amen. So, it's so vast that God needs people that will move. God wants to do the works that the Lord Jesus did, cover the earth with his glory, do the works that Jesus did, and greater. So he wants the church to operate in supernatural boldness. Amen. Ha! Like the Hebrews in Daniel. That's Old Testament. Now that was put upon them, I believe. You know what I mean? They had a strong desire for God. But God, that for you to see a fire, a fire that has been heated 7 times. The people that took you there, they were burned to death. That's supernatural. That was put, I believe, upon them. But God can do the same for us too. Same boldness, Hebrew children. Amen. Same thing, lying down in lion's den. Same thing with the apostles. The apostles, the Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, in the early church, say, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Christ. The same Peter and John that were carrying in the house, barely opening the door a few days earlier, now they were talking with boldness to the Sanhedrin. What happened? The anointing. Now, there's the borrowed anointing, but in our case, God wants us to perfect that glory, perfect the love of God, and so inherit the glory. Amen? Amen. Number two, God wants boldness or fearlessness in his people because fear, this won't make you laugh, but it's the truth. Timidity, fear, is contagious. What does that mean? It means it spreads like wildfire. The one thing you don't want in an army that is marching into the battlefield is a fearful person. Because his doubts and his fear, it's a spiritual thing. And it's ostracized from him to people. But you know, everybody says, hey, where is that? Where are they taking us to? What is happening here? Eh? They won't say it too much. I'm like, bro, you doing okay? Bro, you know, do you know where we are going? You don't have to go. There's a commander in chief. It's not your business. Yours is to follow. Yours is to obey. When a fear comes in, it starts to spread. Case in point, Judges chapter 7. The first people that God unloaded out of Gideon's huge army were those who were fearful and afraid. He said, let them go home. First people. God said, check them out. Give me that. Judges 7. Somewhere here. Judges 7:2-3. Yeah. Yeah. So now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early. Don't wait till later. Go now. Because God is about to do work. Fearfulness is contagious. Number three. Let me ask you, has anybody ever been in a crowd, or maybe you go to a football game, or you go to a game or somewhere, maybe there's a lot of people there, and then you start seeing people running towards you? Are you going to wear and say, bro, why are you running? Well, no, sorry, bro, we're not doing it. You will turn around and pick race. Hello? That's fear. Now, can you imagine that in an army? Just turn the house of them. That's why God is getting rid of fear. This army that is going to march through the earth, this exceeding great army, we're an army of fearless, bold people, led and commanded by those who have perfected love. And those who are coming behind them also will be fully submitted. We'll get to that in a minute. And will also be fearless and boldness because of covering. Some people didn't get that. Number three, fearful vessels cannot be used effectively by God in the day of judgment. The Lord requires bold, fearless prophets and apostles that will say and do all that he commands. The Bible says that he told and said, speak to them all that I command you. Don't look at their faces. Oh, talking to Jeremiah. Say, I've made your face as a defense, as an iron pillar against all the whole land. Just you tell them what I say. Case in point, Elijah, big, mighty, I don't even know Elijah. Mighty prophet of God. Elijah that had a great victory. God gave him a great victory in Mount Carmel over the sons of Baal, the prophets of Baal. Killed all of them. God answered by fire. If that wasn't enough, he prayed the rain back. If that wasn't enough, he ran past a chariot in full flight. Horses. Then Jezebel sent him a message. Said, by this day tomorrow, I'm going to deal with you, man. And Elijah believed. Which showed you what was in his heart? All the time. So he started running. An angel met him and gave him food. He should have known that the game was up. He should have stopped and gone back. He kept on running. Then he got to a cave. And God came to him. There was fire. There was earthquake. There was a wind. And God gave him a sense and said, Elijah, what are you doing here? Is this what I sent you?
Is this where it's supposed to be?
Yeah, now. God retired him instantly. Instantly. Go and anoint Elisha in your place. May God not retire us in Jesus' name. But this is what happens when there's fear. God cannot use fearful vessels effectively. Hello, somebody. What are we saying? Fearful vessels, weak vessels, are not dependable in this day of judgment. And that's why God wants us to perfect the love of God so we can have boldness in this day. Now, we're going to close. How do we develop this attitude of boldness in this day of judgment? How? The Bible says, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. Perfect love casts out fear. It should be obvious. Amen? So, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 23, that if you want to be like him and have the hope, we purify ourselves. So, that says, as he is in heaven, well, as he is, not necessarily in heaven, but as he is, so are we in this world now. So your question is, how is the Lord Jesus? So we'll know how to become like him. Well, he's seated in the right hand of the Father, on his throne, he reigns and rules. Hello? And not only that, he's invited you and I to come and reign and rule with him. Hello, somebody. But you cannot reign in the fear of things physical or even spiritual. The only fear you personally should fear is fear God. If you fear God, then you don't have to fear anybody else. But he's invited you to reign. So we must make ourselves available to him and finish this work of perfection and fullness and reign with him in his throne. And we do that even while we're here on earth. That's why I say it's a present, continuous thing. This, you know, being perfected. So we are, as he is, so as we in this world. Then, the glory which he shed, the glory which he shed voluntarily to become a man has been restored back to him with all of his titles and all of his crowns. When he was leaving, he said, the glory which I had before, God is grateful. He left all that behind just to come down. And it was a great down. Can you imagine being slapped by what you made and created? Can you imagine being denied and rejected by those whom your own word is upholding? That's a serious humility. So to be like him, as he is now, we too must humble ourselves. And you know, it's so interesting, Pastor Dave. The Lord showed me how when the Lord dropped that, all his heavenly attributes, and he came to earth, he had to find the glory from somewhere else, just like every other man. He had to get the glory. That's why he spent all those years in Nazareth, perfecting God's glory. He had to do everything. He was not a matter for him. So it wasn't until the day the glory manifested that he knew, of course he knew by revelation, that you know he had attained unto that, he had gone to the trial in the desert, you know, and he was coming back. But until that glory came back, he didn't know when it was going to happen or where it was. He was thinking it was going to be a feast. Just like you and I. You and I have no idea what the date is, but you prepare yourself. You prepare yourself, and then God will now, on his timing, in his own day, when he decides, he will now clothe you with that glory. Just like him. God did the same. So he went from glory to glory and back to his glory. From the glory of heaven to the glory of what was on the earth, while we are explaining, and back to his heavenly glory. So he's there now. So for us to do this, as we say, we too have to humble ourselves to the crucifying of our affections and flesh by using the blood. Stop there, the blood. Now, I was saying this earlier, I'm going to now flesh it out a bit. His blood is what gives us boldness and access into his presence. Give me Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, quickly. Hebrews 10, 19, we begin to close now. Are we getting something out of this? Are we understanding where we're going? God wants to have boldness in the day of judgment by perfecting the love of God, the character of God. Now, Hebrews says, having therefore what? Boldness to enter into the holiest. How? By the blood of Jesus. It is his blood that gives us access. It says we come into the holiest of all to obtain mercy and find grace and help in the time of need. The blood that is shed for us is what gives us boldness and access into the presence of God to receive the mercy and the grace and all that we need to perfect his character in us. Amen. So we use the blood. And we also use the word. The Bible says, whosoever keepeth the word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. And the power of the Holy Spirit, we use the blood through the blood, the word, and the spirit, praying with travailing prayer to flush out that sin nature from our souls and our physical bodies, flushing out the sin nature to perfect the character of Christ, which is love. Amen. It sounds so simple. And that's the only avenue to get rid of fear. And it is the degree to which we do this will determine the degree to which our love is made perfect, and the degree or the magnitude of our boldness and fearlessness in this day of judgment. Folks, the scripture cannot be broken. It says perfect love casts out fear. It's only perfect love that can cast out fear perfectly. So the degree to which the degree to which any one of us is afraid is the degree to which you have perfected love. Simple. So measure your love perfection by what you're afraid of. You're still afraid of spiders and dogs. But God is a God of hope. He will take you from being afraid of flying, afraid of dogs and cats, and one day you just find out, wow, a dog just blew by and it didn't even make an impression upon you. Hello? Or you saw a spider and you didn't scream. Ah! Ah! You're laughing. You have your own fear. Everybody, let me tell you something. Satan has tagged every human being. It can be anything. It's a spirit, you see, the spirit of fear. And we will conquer it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, perfect love casts out fear, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love. Perfect love casts out fear perfectly. Amen. And it's the degree that we inherit the glory as our inheritance, that our nakedness is covered and we are bold in God. First of all, as the borrowed anointing. Amen. Like the apostles in the early church that gave witness of God with boldness. Amen. But for them it was not inherent, because they were still spiritual babes. They had not inherited it. Amen. Our objective, by the grace of God, is to inherit the full anointing. We start with the borrowed, but when you do that, you are under covering of spiritual fathers. Amen. God puts you under a covering of a mature father who has perfected that love and is inherited or about to inherit that full anointing. So the boldness that God has built into him in his sojourn, from being just born again, a little baby child, to maturity in Christ and the perfection of the love of God, the boldness that he has covers you. And the glory he has covers you. That Bible says, upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion, the glory shall be a defense. So it's under his covering that you can now partake of the boldness that he walks in, or she walks in, or they walk in. Like in our case, our fathers are, you know, pastor and mommy. The boldness that God has imparted unto them as they perfect the character of Christ is transmitted to you underneath. So even though you are still not perfect, you can act like a little bold image of your father. Isn't that great? So you don't have to wait until the whole job is done to declare. Look at the disciples now. They were babies. But under the apparent anointing released upon them by the Lord Jesus Christ, they had great boldness. People who were a few days ago running and running helter-skelter, were afraid to open their front door. All of a sudden, they're talking to the highest religious council in the land, and they're speaking, saying, "We are not afraid to say what we have to say." What happened? Boldness under covering. Same is available to all of us here. So in this day, you can have boldness. You will have boldness. Amen? If you remain under the covering of kings, the glory that's upon them will be defense for you, and you will not be afraid. The enemy will not be able to touch you. That's what covering does. Give you a place of refuge so you can build up. You can develop yourself, perfect the love of God in Christ Jesus, and be free from fear. Because you know somebody, like we used to say, listen, my big brother got you. Your big brother, your covering under the Lord Jesus, is watching over you. And he will not allow you to be overcome. Amen? Finally, I think that's it. Okay, the Lord showed me a glimpse. Give me Isaiah chapter 11. We're going to get there. This is a glimpse of what the age to come is going to be like. There'll be no fear. Fear was not in the original plan. It came because of disobedience, releasing spiritual forces over which they had no understanding, and then being in that disobedience, the light went out and nakedness came and fear came in. But God is taking us back. Give us a shot, a snapshot of what's happening in Isaiah chapter 11. Give me Isaiah 11 verse 6, quickly, so it's close. This is the ages to come. See if you can find any fear in these verses. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The lamb is afraid of the wolf in our time. But now look, the wolf is dwelling with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The kid there is a goat. Can you imagine a leopard looking at a goat close? In fact, they're lying down close to each other. Now, goats won't survive 10 seconds. But they say they're going to lie down together. And the calf and the young lion, ha! And the fat men together. And they have a little toddler leading them around, leading a lion, with a calf and a fatling. The lion has three options. Can go for the calf, can go for the fatling or the little kid. But everything is working together seamlessly. No fear. That's the age to come. But the Bible tells us that if we perfect the love of Christ, we can partake of the powers of the age to come. So in our own sphere of influence, this will be taking place. The calf and the young lion will fight together. The child shall lead them. If the child puts it, there's one more verse there, verse 7. That's where I'm going. The cow and the bear shall feed. The young one shall lie down. The lion shall eat straw like yours. Next verse, where it says, nothing shall hurt or destroy. What it says? 9. Thank you. Verse 9. God bless you. Verse 9. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. Why? For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Selah. As the Lord close, I speak to God be the glory. Please don't clap. God is in control. Thank you very much, Lord. I appreciate you. So, what shall we say to these things? Perfect love casts out fear. There's only one, folks, there's no other option. There's nothing else except we perfect the love of God. That's where everything is at. Peace, no fear, the glory, the inheritance, everything is in perfect love. And that perfect love casts out all fear, everything. Fear, perfect, entire, wanting nothing. Let's ask the Lord to have mercy upon us. Hallelujah. Boldness in the day of judgment. This is how to have it, folks. Glory be to God. Thank you, God. And God doesn't leave us in any doubt. Shows us how to get there. God is good. We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. So dwell in God, and his love will dwell in us. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out all fear. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. The scripture is clear. Let's ask the Lord to have mercy upon us. Oh, Lord God, make up your minds. You're not going to be afraid anymore. You now have the answer. Perfecting the love of God under the covering of spiritual fathers. Humbling ourselves even as the Lord did. Making ourselves of no reputation. Following after spiritual fathers using the word, the blood of the Lord Jesus gives us access and boldness in his presence. His righteousness upon us, so that God sees us in his righteousness, not in ours, which is our filthy rags. And then use the blood, the word, and the power of the Spirit to flush out. God says, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit to perfect holiness in the fear of God. Ask the Lord to have mercy upon us. not be afraid of 10,000s of people that set themselves against us round about. We will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that set themselves against us round about. For thou, O Lord, against us round the world. Oh, thou, O Lord, thou, O Lord, art a shield for us.
You are glory,
glory,
and the lifter up of thy head.
Oh, thou, O Lord,
thou, O Lord, art a shield for us. The glory and the lifter up of our head.
Yeah. Let's respond to the word of all that's come. Hallelujah. A militant song. We're pressing in. And the gates of hell will not prevail. For God is the glory and the lifter up of our head. And he has given us surety of certain victory. Hallelujah. Put a hand upon the heart. Raise a hand to the Lord. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for your word of encouragement that has come to me today. Thank you for showing me that you desire boldness in this day of judgment, that you're building up and raising up an army that will march through the land in total synchrony with the Lord Jesus and your spirit to declare your manifold wisdom upon the earth and to demonstrate the same to principalities and powers. And that this requires unfettered boldness. And so, Heavenly Father, I come to plead with you that you have mercy upon me. Your word says there's no fear in love, and perfect love casteth out fear. So, Lord, I covenant with you for fresh mercy, fresh grace, fresh help from the Spirit, an understanding of the times and seasons, and what I should do to perfect your love using the blood, the word, and the power of the Holy Spirit to cleanse out, purge out all, every last vestige of the sin nature from my soul and my physical body, that the life of God, the resurrection life of God, will be made manifest in glory in my mortal flesh, clothing me with the glory and removing my nakedness in the eyes of God in the name of Jesus. I say, Lord God, by your mercy and grace, I will dwell in love. I will dwell in God. And because I dwell in God, you will dwell in me and give me great boldness in this day of judgment. Because as you are, so am I in this world. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Ring baby, that is some beauty. Ring the carriazo. Rambabu Dumbia Kabarakadam, Gadigano. Ring baby, the Amalokaza. Ring baby, the Satakorde. Ring the Amobu Shakan Gadia. Rambado and Perimara. Say, Sakundoma. Mireke Sakuba. Father, Shekebala Bakana. Rambado by a Baramakorde. Ring Benama. And there was Seregoma Kadia Pantira Malaba Seregano. Father, Liko Mayaka Sekende of God. Rock a Solomon, the money case at the car. Here, Siro, Bembery, Sarah Concata, Father, Shekelo Mayakara, Rakaba Sekere, Risiko Nakasha, Risika Nakasha. In Jesus' name. Let's pray for our healing now. Oh, glory to God. Put a hand upon your heart, upon your body, wherever you need healing. And under the covering of the Father's will, we pray. Let's remember that healing is a children's bread. You are not to be sick, and you will not die before time. Pastor and God have not given you permission to die. Hello, somebody. With long life, God will satisfy you, and he will show you his salvation. And my pastor said, until you see his total salvation, these things we are talking about, all this boldness, perfection, love, you will not die. That's your purpose. That's what you're focusing on. And God will cause you to see it in Jesus' name. Let's pray. So, Heavenly Father, we confess our sins, and so we clean with the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we have life. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord God, for your word that tells us himself, the word, took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Therefore, sickness, infirmity, disease, and fear have no legal right in this body. And so I will not allow it. Therefore, by the power of the Spirit, under the covering of spiritual fathers, I draw now upon the resurrection life and power that was wrought in Christ Jesus when he was raised from the dead. I say that life now flows into my physical body, from the crown of my head all the way to the soles of my feet, into every organ, into my liver, my pancreas, my lungs, into my heart, into my kidneys, my digestive system, my circulatory system, my immune system. Every part receives the flow of abundant life, the life flows into every cell, and all the DNA within every cell in my physical bodies, and all error cease in the name of Jesus. And my DNA responds to the parent force of life and begins to function as it was designed to function. No more errors in the name of Jesus. I say, by the stripes of Jesus and his resurrection, life and power, I am healed. I live in divine health. And I keep the laws of hygiene, of natural medicine, of diet, physical exercise, and of rest. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Pray fervently. We send better, Lord God. Rembere minabagadaka sokrega lumalado. Mani van mani. Rembere minam salabidamala. Handando. Karanesek. Rembere baro shako. Mipaporo. Mipembere. Rembere lo kide kide gatsu akakala. Hambere tombre. Rembere malakalo. Handa sote tepe namalagere. Rembere malambasopia papa. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah. And those are every single day, those your DNA with life. Hallelujah. Let's share the grace. Join hands with somebody. Let's close. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So under the covering of the fathers, may the Lord bless and keep us all. The Lord make his face to shine upon us. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon us. The Lord God gives us peace. God makes us head and not tail, above only and not beneath. We prosper and excel in all that we set our hands to do. We are at least 10 times better than our peers in the name of Jesus. And so we possess the gates of our enemy, even the gates of death. So we shall live, we shall not die. We shall live to declare the glory of God in the land of the living. The Lord satisfies us with long life, and he shows us his salvation, the perfection and the fullness of Christ, in Jesus' name. Amen. And so the Lord anoints us under the covering of our fathers with the anointing of Enoch, of Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John, in Jesus' name. Amen. The grace, with the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore, in Jesus' name. Amen. Tell your neighbor, you have boldness in this day of judgment because you perfect the love of God, in Jesus' name.